This thing was burning on me all night because you're talking about Jesus. Glory be to God. I want to thank him for everything that's going forth. The praise team, the choir, the announcements, the ushers. Give our deacon Taylor a hand of praise. Excellent job, man of God. You know, one of the things that God is doing, he's making all of us, amen, and the process, amen, and I thank him for that. Glory be to God. You know, I know we're embarking into the season of a holiday, amen, and I wrestled with the Lord in terms of, do I talk about Christmas or do I talk about Christ? And I resolved to, let's just talk about Christ, amen. You'll get Christmas out of Christ. Come on, somebody, come on. Glory be to God. Let me give an acknowledgement also for First Lady. She's still in travel, amen. Not in travel, but she will be here Tuesday. She gets in Monday night, possibly Tuesday, amen. But she's doing well. She's on her way back home. She had a good time in the Lord, and I'm thankful and grateful for all your prayers and your solicitations in terms of her care, amen. And surely I miss her. So if you wasn't praying, I sure was, amen. That I need my wife back. Glory be to God. Love him and love him and love him, but I love her also. Amen. Is that all right with you? All right, let's go ahead and talk about Jesus. Talk about Jesus. Don't mess. Talk about Jesus. If you would open up your Bibles to the book of Acts, and let's go to Acts chapter 19. We're in the season, amen, and you know that they say that Jesus is the reason for the season. All the cliches, and that sounds real good, but if you really don't know him, that's just a statement. But when you know him, he is the reason for the season that you're in. He's the reason for everything you got, everything you're going. Amen. He is our grace and our strength. In Acts chapter 19, I want to start there to get to where I'm going. And I want to talk to you about a godly expectation. Somebody help me right here. I had to see, because your expectation got to be of God. I know we're looking for everything to happen. We need everything to happen. We in believing God for things to happen for us. But all we really need is Jesus. And Jesus makes all the rest of the stuff happen. See, if you don't have a godly expectation, your expectation could be a man and of yourself and of finances. But all them things is not your deliverer. They're not your healer. It's in him we live. It's in him we move. It's in him. But that's not even just a statement. That's a reality. Amen. In Acts chapter 19, when you get to verse 11, say amen. Amen. And amen. Let's stand for the reading of God's holy word. Amen. If Jesus walked into the room, I surely don't want to be sitting down. Amen. And I believe every time we open up this Bible, Jesus is finna talk to us. Amen. So we want to make sure that we give honor to where honor is due. Acts chapter 19, verse 11. And the scripture read, and let's read it all in unison and on one accord, and begin. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. Father, in the mighty name of your son, Jesus Christ, we bless you and thank you for the grace. Thank you for the hearers, but most assuredly, thank you for the doers. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. And amen. You may have your seats in the presence of our living King. Now watch this. Because sometimes we're in 21st century, and a lot of times people don't really know how to seek God. They know they ought to seek God, but they don't know how to seek God. And the question becomes, where is the Lord? You know, some people even say, can I even hear from God? Well, see, you got to know the way of the Lord to be able to know the Lord. But you got to have an expectation of the Lord. See, a lot of times we're coming now and we're not looking for nothing. Now, we know we're supposed to come. We know that this is supposed to be the house of God. But am I expecting God to show up? Come on, somebody. Because today could be your day if you're expecting it. But now if you're not looking for it, then there's no expectation for it. Therefore, there's no hope for it, so I'm not really looking. Bless you, man of God. I see you in the back there. Glory be to God. Good to have you in the house. I'm not looking, but I know he's here. But when your expectation is of him, you got your antennas up, your eyes open. You're looking. Are you the one, or do I look for another? I'm looking for Jesus. I didn't come to hear about you. I didn't come to hear about the community. I didn't come to hear about the business. I came to hear about Jesus. Is it anybody want to hear about Jesus? Well, let's talk right here, because I've got to show you how you can hear Jesus. Because the scripture says in Acts chapter 19, verse 11, it says, and God. And who?
God.
And God. First of all, so if I'm looking for Jesus, it's got to come from God. Oh, help me here. Because see, everything that I understand is going to happen, I'm looking for God to do it. But now, not only is it God, but I'm looking for the order of God. So God sent his only begotten son. So now I don't have to see God if I see the son. I'm going to work with you now, because I'm going to help you see God. Because some of us waiting outside looking for the supernatural when he already in the house. Because he said that God gave his only begotten son, that the son can come and save the world and turn the world back into the sons of God. So now if we're looking for God and God is working through his son and his son came and touched the world and the world have become sons, then where is God? In the son. Oh, help me right here. So when you see a son, you see God. So now the text said God wrought, W-R-O-U-G-H-T. That word wrought is God worked or God made or God operated or God instituted. Can I work right here? Watch this. Why? Because I'm going to show you the son. The Bible says in John, show us the son that it suffice us. Yes. See, I don't have to see God if I see the son, because it's the son of God. My God, I want to come down there, but I want to plow this field just a little more before I hit the ground. It says, and God, what? Wrought. Now, that word wrought is a word, and we've already learned this, but it's poieo. It's P-O-Y-E-H-O. And this word poieo, this is where God worked or God created or God manifested his power through. Is this right? So God brought forth his God character, his God ability through his son. Watch this. For God wrought, worked, manifested, did special miracles, what? By the hands of Paul. Now, Paul was a son of God. He was an apostle. He was one that God used to express his image, express his mind, and do his work. That's what Paul did. Amen. Well, how many of y'all believe that I am a man of God? So now let's move the text around and insert in the text where we are. Because the Bible says, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Pastor Tedder. I'm trying to get you to see where God's at. Because, see, if you don't know where God at, you could be sitting in front of God and don't even know it. Now, I'm not saying I'm God, but I am saying I'm a man of God because I'm a son of God. So, therefore, I qualify for the special miracles. I qualify for the power of God. So, now you should have an expectation if you come into the house of God, because Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. As long as I'm following Christ, you should still be looking for Jesus. Is that right with you? Now let's do a little work, because you look like I'm just saying something. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to give you some scripture today, but if you don't get there, I'll turn to them for you, because I want you to be able to make sure that you read. Is they got them up on the wall? Why we don't have them on the wall? Okay, don't worry about the walls. For some reason, we'll deal with them that don't have it on the wall today. I don't understand why we don't have them on the wall. But let's still, I got them in the book, though. I did bring them with me. So I don't want you to think I ain't got them. But it's a tragedy that you don't see them. Come on, stay with me, though. Stay encouraged. You still got Jesus. But now Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. And the scripture says what? But seek ye what? First the kingdom of and his, and all these shall be added unto you. So now what I should be seeking is not the things, but I should be seeking. Because it says, seek ye first. Anytime you seek something other than God first, then first becomes second. And God said, I'll not be second to none of y'all. No thing. Because I'm the God that created all things. Stay with me now. So that's Matthew chapter 6. Amen. But now let's go to John chapter 1. I'm trying to get you where we're going. Because I want to prove to you there's four things that we need to understand. Because see, we need to look for Jesus. You know, if you get to talking about Jesus, there's a joy unspeakable that come up on the inside of you. Watch this. Because now I'm only, you know, you got the natural and you got the spiritual. So if I'm talking about Jesus in my natural, I'm talking about the man Jesus. I'm talking about words or vocabulary. But in my spirit, on the inside of me, the power of God begins to bubble. Because you can't talk about Jesus and not get excited, not come on, not get enthused, not get empowered, because it's the power of God. That's why some people ain't seen a miracle, can't manifest glory, because can't get the presence, because they don't talk about him. They talk about everything else but him. Are you with me? John chapter 1. You already know it, but we can quote it by, but I want to read it to you because I want to plow right here. John chapter 1, verse 1. And it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. My, I tried it. I couldn't do it. I got to talking about him and felt like I had to move. Because I want to let you know. Yeah, you like this? Yeah, I like it too, because it helped me preach the gospel. I say, everything the world doing, I'm putting it back in the gospel. See, we done took everything that God created, ideals, and we on the side in the back of the building somewhere enjoying what could be used for the kingdom of God. See, anything you get, take it back. Put it back in the kingdom. You are the ministry. You can take that tool and advance it to the glory of God. Don't let the world use everything. I let them create it, but I'll use it. Come on, somebody. Is y'all all right with me? It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was, and the Word was, verse 2, and the same was in the beginning with God. So whatever we talking about, it was already with God in the beginning. But let's define what we're talking about, verse 3. And it says, and all things were made by him. So now we're not just talking about an object, we're talking about a person. So in the beginning was Jesus. Come on, somebody. He was in the beginning. Oh, help me. In the beginning was Jesus, because the Bible says that Jesus was made flesh and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So now if the Word was among us, which is we have it, here is Jesus, but then the Word became manifested in that it's in you now. Not even just among you, but it's in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So now you're walking around with Jesus on the inside of you. That's why every time you speak about him, you talk about him, that something come up on the inside. It don't make a difference what my outside look like. My change ain't came. My circumstance ain't came. My situation ain't changed. But there's a joy on the inside. That's why I don't understand why Christians are frowning and fretting, because that means you ain't been with him. Because I don't care what's going on outside, it don't change your joy that comes from the inside. Because joy is an inside job. See, happenstance is the Anglo-Saxon word, come from circumstance. So if my circumstance is happening, that's why I'm happy. That's why you're sad, because it ain't happening. But joy. Joy tell my problem, you ain't running nothing. Because your problem tried to tell you your God ain't who he is. But when God can give me joy unspeakable and full of glory, he said, I give you a peace that passes all your understanding. I know he's treating you wrong. I know she's acting crazy. But I can still show you that I'm God. I give you a peace that passes all what you're going through. That's why, come on, I preach this right. See, you can't talk about Jesus and don't get excited. But I don't want to get excited right here because I got too far to go. Now watch this. This joy. Because I can get some joy for some other stuff. But this joy, the world didn't give it to me. You can't go buy this joy. They can't sell this joy. You can't manufacture this joy. Are you with me? But now watch this. Verse 3 says, and all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. And in him was life. And the life was the light of men. So if your life or your light is out because you ain't into the life preserving grace that works on the inside. Don't tell me about what's going on. Talk to me about the life. Because it's life in Christ that gives turn the lights on in my life. I'm trying to get everything else to make the light come on. And light is indicative of joy, happiness, and change. Darkness is indicative of the bad times, the weak times, the hurt times. That's why he said joy comes in the, because the lights come on, as I'm preaching this right. See, you got to turn your lights on, but that's because you got to get it into life. See, what we done made Christianity is just a topic and a fellowship, because nobody really want to pay the price to be with Jesus. So we come and go, but we don't interact with Jesus. How you going to come to the house and talk about we married? You don't even sit down with me. You don't even eat with me. Surely you ain't went upstairs with me. But you talking about we got some life. Ain't no light, because ain't no light up in here. It's been dark. Am I preaching this right, Doc? See, listen. Come on, stay with me. See, the Holy Ghost moving. that was James. That was James. But now watch this. Glory be to God. Turn to John chapter 10. Are you there? See, the question is become not what you're looking for, but who are you looking for? See, because if you ain't expecting him to show up, you in games and gimmicks. Because he's the life and the light of the world. And the only way you're going to sustain yourself, you're going to have to get back in him. You sold him out for them, and you mad with them because they can't turn your lights on. They just promised you life. Shout out Sita. Right here. Are you in John chapter 10? Now watch this. Hold your finger there and go to 1 Timothy. I want to give you enough lumber to make sure when you start this fire that it stay on, it stay burning. 1 Timothy. I know you say, Pastor, why are you so many scriptures? What did you come here for? You thought we was going to sing and dance all day? We got to talk about him. And I ain't just talking about talking about him. Show me him in that Bible. Because I want to walk away from here with him. I need him to save me, to deliver me, to keep me. I fell in love with him. When I first got into this, I got in it because of him. I would like to preach a message, where did our love go? Because you started out loving me, but you don't love me like you used to. you stay with me now. I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you if you stay right here with me. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Look at verse 3. Watch this, verse 1. And Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of what? God. Nobody got to be doing nothing in the church if you're not commanded by God, you don't just jump up talking about, I feel something, I'm anointed, I can do something. Man, did God tell you to do that? This is the house of God. No unauthorized work shall be done up in here. Woo! You got to be authorized by God, not picked by the brothers. You know, I've been going to church long enough and the brother said, I need that spot. Man, did God tell you to do that? Because we're looking for the power of God. I'd rather come to your house and eat chicken, but don't take that spot. Because I'm expecting you to know God. All right. He says, and Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our salvation in Lord Jesus Christ, which is our what? Hope. Your hope is in God. And anybody that come in the name of God, you better have it. Verse 2, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith. When you see that, what he's really saying, this is the one that I've been pouring God into. I'm developing them to talk about God, to represent God. That's my son in the faith, not son in faith. The faith is the definite article of the word. That's my son in the word. Am I preaching too loud? I done got excited. I'm going to tell you I'm excited. Right here. Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith. You know, I'm a pastor. That I'm celebrating. I'm rejoicing because God is allowing me to raise up sons. Sons is not indicative of a gender. It's male and female. It's men and women that want to represent Jesus, want to stand up and be about the Father's business. Ain't trying to sell out, give up, or turn back. Yeah, we got too many folk too weak to be up in the ministry. Because you ain't prepared to be up here. You ain't made to be. I don't mind you trying, but go get equipped. Because I'm looking for you to walk it, talk it, live it, demonstrate it, manifest it. I got children and babies that's looking for Jesus. Don't get up there and play like you got something and you ain't got it. Go back downstairs and sit in the class. I done got a little attitude. You see, I slip from love into hate. What kind of place is this? I let the devil know. This 21st century, we going to do this, church. Come on, somebody. I got anybody believe we going to do this gospel. It can be done right. All right. It says, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace and mercy and peace from God, our Father, and Jesus Christ, our Lord. Verse 3, I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, and when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they what? Teach nothing other than doctrine. Neither give heed to feeble and endless genealogies, which ministers questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. So do. He said, man, I want to get down there with them people and preach doctrine. Teach folks the gospel. Don't come up with philosophy, you know, wise sayings and, you know, hip cliches. Man, open up that Bible. Because that's where the power of God is. It ain't in your charismatic cliches. Man, I don't care if you're blind, as long as you can interpret what he said. Speak. God said, I'm trying to use whoever would be committed to being submitted to the authority of the word of God. I don't care what your background, what your history. If you're willing to allow me to change you, I can make you another man, another woman, another child. Come on. Yeah. But now, I didn't get you here. But let me just show you what the Jews thought. Now go to John chapter 10 and 33. Then I'm going to get to where I came here for. But I want to give you some discourse, amen? Because everybody ain't going to amen what you're talking about. Because some folks got other agendas. They ain't trying to save people, help people to live. They trying to make money and get a position. Some folks just don't even want to work. I ain't going to learn nothing. I just want to be something. Man, sit down. Well, let me not be biased. Man and woman, sit down. Yeah, you got some women that don't want to do it either. You said, Pastor, why are you preaching so hard? Now I'm preaching right. So we can live, y'all. We up in here giving our life, our money, our time. Don't you want to know I want what Jesus got? I don't want to be played with. Don't play with me. Preach the gospel. Now, it ain't my job to make you live it. That's your job. That's you and the Holy Ghost. But you can never say I didn't preach it right. So you're really without an excuse. That's all I'm trying to say. John chapter 10, verse 33. I know you'll get happy with me later on. Verse 32, and Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? Because they were trying to stone Jesus. They was going to put Jesus in, you know what I'm saying? Because really, they didn't want to identify or accept the power of God. You got some folks that want just the reputation, and some folks just want the position so they can manipulate the people. They don't want God. They just want the people, because this is a business. You got folks go to school and be get theologian degree but don't even have a relationship. But we won't talk about that this morning. Yeah, they got a degree, but they really got a measure. Verse 33, and the Jews answered him, saying, for good works we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. All right. Now, if you on God's team, why can't you receive that I'm a man of God? Why are you wrestling with me about what you say you believe? Because really, you don't believe what you say you believe. So that's what the Jews said. But what I want to say is, there's four things that we want to talk about this morning for the next few minutes. Amen? And these four things we need to deal with is, first of all, he created all things for you. This Jesus. That's why you got to talk about Jesus. The more you talk about Jesus, the life and the light and the love of God come upon you. You know, we got folks trying to get spirit-filled and trying to get spiritual, but don't talk about Jesus. How can you get the spirit without Jesus? You don't spend no time with Jesus, but you're telling me you are knowing it. What is that? What anointing is you talking about? But first we want to talk about he created all things. Amen. Then we want to talk about he preserves all things. Then he forgives all things. Oh, help me right here. But then he blessed in all things. See, when you get in Jesus, your whole life get blessed. Because how many of us came to Christianity really looking for a blessing? Let's get honest now. I wanted my life to change. I want some things I knew I couldn't make. I'm looking for Jesus to do all that. But I got in it, but I didn't get in it. I accepted it, but I never got in it. So I'm really not into what I say I'm into. That's why ain't nothing changed. Because it's the power of God that changed your life. But outside of that power, you can't get that change even though you got the name Christian. But you ain't got the power, the manifestation, or the signs, miracles, and wonders. Go to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9. Glory be to God. They still ain't got that. No. It's been up there? Man, come, y'all need to put it in front of me so I go, because I want to make sure folks getting it. Amen. But it's all right. Y'all know they know I only kid those I love. But you know I ain't kidding either. But watch this. Watch this. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9. It says, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world have been hid, what? In God, who created all things by what? Jesus Christ. So all things were created. This is the mystery that it's not really a mystery. It's in him. And if you baptize yourself, dedicate your life, commit your time to enjoying him, the mystery become revealed. The veil falls. The power is available. The glory fills the place because it's in him. Oh, come on, somebody clap with me. Don't patty cake. See, it's in him. And the more you get in him, he is already, you know, anything you feed will keep coming back. You know, go get a little dog knocking on your back door and feed him, a little cat. And every time you feed him, he's going to come back. Yes, amen? He's going to come back. So anything you feed will come back. If you feed the Jesus on the inside of you, he'll come back. See, he's in you dormant, laying down, buried up under everything else you eating. Education. Come on, somebody. Fellowship, pornography. Come on, somebody. He can't come up out of all that. But once you start eating Jesus, I'm talking about eating him, studying, praying, he comes back up on you now. Not only is he in you, but he comes up on you. He comes up on you. Have you ever been talking about him and the Spirit of God comes up on you? Now, he was already in you, but when you start talking about him, he come up on you. Now the power of God, potential of God is made available in the room you was just in. 5 minutes ago, it was not there. But when you start talking about Jesus, not only his person, but his presence come up. And when his presence is there, his power is there. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 6. I'm going to turn to him. Don't you worry. Colossians chapter 1, verse 6. It says, which is come. Verse 3. We give thanks to God and our Father by God, our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since you heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have to all the saints. Verse 5. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. What's that? Which is to come unto you as it is in all the world, and bring it forth fruit, as it doeth also in you, since the day you heard it and knew the grace of God in truth. And you also learned of the Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. But watch this, verse 5. The last stanza, and you heard of the grace of God in truth. See, the grace of God comes from the truth of God. The truth of God is the word of God that's being preached to you. See, right now I'm speaking to spirits that torment us and dominate us and overthrow us. But when the spirit hears the grace of God, which is the truth of God, that even though you're bound, you don't have to be bound no more. Because you can't get out don't mean there's no out. The truth comes and sets you free. Because the spirit of darkness is subject to the authority of the word. So whatever's wrestling with you, you done indulged in, gave into, and bound by, it's still subject to the truth, even though you can't get it out of it. Have you ever been in anything you can't get out of? But that don't mean it ain't no way out. Come on, somebody. Because there's a whole lot of folks been bound by a lot of things until truth came. And truth set them free. So we recognize that he created all things. And all things was created for him. But now watch this. We're in Colossians chapter 1. Stay with me. Verse 7. Because not only do we recognize he created all things, but he preserved all things. All right. Verse 7 says, and as you learned of Ephesus, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, and who also declared unto you your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard, cease not to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing and being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of him, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto the patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which have made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. Who what? Verse 13. Who have delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom you have redemption through his blood, even for the forgiveness of sins. How did you get through what you came through? It's because of the grace of God. But now God is preserving you. How do you think you made it? See, let's stay in Jesus. You start talking about, I did this, I know this person. Ain't none of that kept you. What's been keeping you is the grace of God that's in Christ Jesus and in his relationship with you, there's a preserving agent that's working right now to keep you from losing your mind, not getting turned out, turned under, or turned in. You wonder why you ain't in jail right now for all the stuff you're doing. Because the grace of God been preserving you. Come on, somebody. See, Jesus is keeping us. But you got to stay in him. You got to want to be kept. And the more you know about him, the more he transforms you into that wonderful light, into that righteousness, to where you're walking around and the things that I used to do, I don't do no more. Come on, somebody. The things that used to have me bound ain't got me no more. Because, you know, it's hard to get out of pornography. Can I get one amen? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I just want somebody to go to the church I'm talking about. It's hard to get out of drinking and drugs. If that was the case, a whole lot of folk be out. It's hard to get out of that adulterous spirit when you done been a frequent flyer. You can't even stop yourself because your soul been eating up. Your soul eats on it so often that even if you thought it, you know, I thought it and I did it. Some of us can be so bound by what got us that all you have to do is just think about it. And it's like your car get to driving towards the location. Because you done it so long, so many times, that you don't even have control over your soul no more. But then the truth of God comes and it delivers you. Don't tell me you can't be delivered. Because if he can give you one day of victory, he can give you a week of victory. If he can give you a week, he can give you a month. If he can give you a month, he can give you a year. If he can give you a year, he can give you the rest of your life. But you got to stay in him. And don't tell me he ain't never delivered you. Because remember when you cried, thought you was going to die, thought they was going to bust you. And God came through and delivered you and set you free. But help me, somebody preach this gospel. But what you didn't know how to do was to keep yourself. God set you free, so he showed you I got power over it. But you went back to it. It didn't come back to you. So you didn't learn how to keep yourself away from what was killing you. So God say the only way you're going to keep yourself out of that, you got to stay in me. If I gave you the victory the one day, how did you get it? You called on me. You stayed with me. You prayed with me. But then if you pray with me, call on me and stay with me every day, you can walk in victory every day. Is this making any sense? See, this ain't no fluff gospel. If you pray and throw a coin or take this cloth and it's going, ain't no miracle. I'm not going to negate what God can do, but I'm here to tell you I know the way of the Lord. Stay in him. See, we want that magic stuff. Give me the cloth. Just get me the power to get out of here. No, you need the discipline to stay out of here. That's why they call him Jesus Christ Lord. Jesus is your deliverer. You got, come on somebody, you got delivered in Jesus, but you got to develop in Christ. Yeah, 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 yeah. That's why we keep going back, because we ain't developed. You got delivered, so you keep wanting deliverance. How many deliverances do you get? When you gonna develop? I already showed you I can deliver. Why don't you see I can develop? And then let me show you how to have dominion, because Lord means dominion. I can give you dominion over that area, that you will never be bound by that area again if you stay in my development. Is this helping somebody, Tony? But now watch this, watch this. Come on, somebody. See, don't patty cake. We need Jesus, y'all. The church need to get back to Jesus. The church can't live without Jesus. I don't want the candy. I don't want the promises. If I get Jesus, the scripture says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to me. If I get Jesus, I get all that. You trying to give me that without Jesus, so I got to keep coming back to you. Now I'm hooked on your foolishness. Because every time, you know, I got many problems. So every time I have another one, I got to come back to you again. But if I get Jesus, I get delivered from all. Oh, help me right here. But right here, come on, someone, come on, stay with me. In Hebrews chapter 1, you just stay with me. I'm trying to preach Jesus to you. There's stuff falling up off us right now. Amen. There's stuff that the enemy, see, watch this. Oh, glory to God. If you can see in the spirit realm, there's stuff that comes and attacks and attaches itself to us. It's a spirit. But when it gets in the presence of the power of God, it begins to fall off. See, deliverance is at hand. When the gospel is preached, the power is available. But you got to stay in the gospel. See, you can't hear it in here and walk out the door and don't do it no more. That's how you lost what you got when you was in here. This ain't bubblegum, y'all. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, for the sake of time. Not only do Jesus created all things, but he preserves all things. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Verse 1, God in sundry times and in divers manners spoke in times past unto the fathers by what? The prophets, by the preachers, by Pastor Tedder. Come on, I got to get you all the way down to today. Yeah. I know he said what he did in time past and all that, but you trying to figure out how is that going to help me today? Because I'm a son of God, I'm a man of God. He's talking to you by Pastor Tedder today. If you believe he talked to the prophets, why won't you believe he's talking to you? He said, God, who in sundry times and divers manners and spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, have in these last days spoken unto us by his Jesus. But then Jesus spoke to me, and I'm speaking to you. We in the wheel. So God's talking is all I'm trying to tell you. And he in these last days spoken unto us by his son, whom he has appointed heir of what? All things. By whom also he made the worlds, who being in the brightness of his glory, talking about his son, is the brightness of his glory. Talking about his son, talking about his prophet, talking about the pastor, is in the brightness of his glory. Meaning I bring the image, the presence, and the power of God. That's the brightness of his glory. So the glory of the Lord is here. Oh, yeah. I get excited. The glory of the Lord is here. Is this right? So he says, who in the brightness of his glory and in the express image of his person, Jesus was the Son, Jesus was the Word was with God, Jesus was the Word, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Come on, somebody. So now I'm preaching the Word, which is the express image of his person. I told you I'm going to help you a little bit. This is the express image of his person. This is the person of the Son of God. Of the God is his son, manifested in the word, transformed in the spirit, made available in your life. So now the word of God is in you now. That's why you can amen me, because your spirit bear witness with my spirit. The Jesus in you is amen, and the Jesus in, oh God, is it? He says, in whom by the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things, what? By the word. Not the power of his word. But he said he's holding up things, all things by the word. You got to take God at his word and you'll see the power. Oh, God. Your expectation is in the word of God, because that's the power of God in your life. If you step out on the word, you automatically gonna see the power. Because he say he upholds all things, he preserves, he keeps and maintains all things by the word of his power. That's why when you hear a word from God, it'll change your life. Now don't tell me it won't change, because remember when you heard it back then. See, the devil is so slick and sly. He'll come in and try to destroy the word you heard. That's why he made joy an inside job. So it won't, your circumstances can't null and void or neuter what God said. Because we're going through a whole lot of stuff. And it tells us that God ain't real. God can't make it. If he could, why he won't stop all this is happening? But that has nothing to do with his ability or his power. That has to do with your cooperation. Somebody is lying up in here. Come on, somebody. Somebody ain't doing what they supposed to do. Somebody with somebody ain't doing what they supposed to do. Let God be true in every manner. Now, God said, I can still show you I'm God. But don't think that I ain't God because what you going through. Now, whose report you going to? I'm going to see if you really got faith. Will you still do what I told you in spite of what you're going through? Love you for that, man of God. Yeah, I'm going to find out who really walking, who really believing. Whole lot of folks talking because the light's shining. You're feeling good. You're doing good. But what happened when it get dark? It's like that Bengal tiger when the lights went out. They was all down at the circus watching and everybody shouting, the kids, woo, throwing popcorn because the tiger jumping. And all of a sudden while they was down there and the lights went out. Yeah. All the popcorn hit the ground. Eyes got big because everybody trying to figure out, where's that tiger at? But thank God for the tiger instructor, the one that was down there working with him. Because all you kept hearing was, whack, stand, whack, sit, whack. Because what he did was, even when the lights went out, he kept cracking that whip and speaking with authority that the tiger didn't know it was dark up in there. Yeah, oh, help me right here, Leroy. See, you're going to have to keep cracking that whip and speaking with authority, even though the lights is out, even though it's hard times, even though it's dark. You show me where your faith is at. You're going to have to keep saying what God said. You're going to have to keep speaking the word. You're going to have to keep turning the lights on. Joy is an inside job. Oh, God, help me right here. You're going to have to keep on saying what God said. And the lights will come on. Because in the beginning he said, let there. And it was light. You talking about the God that can turn the lights on. It's a temporary disconnection. Because my bill paid in full. I'm in the grace of God. I'm under warranty. I know it's dark. I know it looked light. But I'm going to keep speaking with authority. Let's make it real real. I'm going to keep coming to church. I'm going to keep giving. I'm going to keep praying. I know they acting a fool. I know they treat me wrong. I know it ain't going the way I want to. But I got to wait until my change come. I don't change gods. I got to wait till my change from God come. We got too many washy, wishy-washy. You know, jelly back folks, it's only good when it's good. When it go bad, I'm out of here. This ain't for me. God don't work. It don't take all that. You better believe it take this and much more. But let me give you a little something that I didn't have in my notes. Some of y'all under construction. Some of the lights went out. God turned them off. Because God wants, I want to prove how bad do you want me. How much you believe me? How much are, because I even want to prove, are you prepared for what I'm trying to give you? Because if you ain't developed and mature enough to handle what's coming, you'll lose it once I give it to you. So let me put you through a hardship test. Now let me show you the difference between a, well, let me say, let me put you through a hardness test. Because the Bible says there's a difference between hardness and hardship. Hardship is what come up on you unprepared and you just realize that this happened and it's something I got to go through. Hardness is what is already calculated, set aside, and prepared to condition you for what is prepared for you. So some of us right now is going through a hardness from the Lord. Because you ask him for a whole lot, but you got to get ready. You got to get made. You got to get prepared. You just don't get it because you asked for it. I just gave you that one just because you was in the house. Now, if you leave, you just got to go home with it. Bless the Lord. But not only do we create all things, but not only do we preserve all things, but he forgive all things. Oh, God. See, he's a God that forgives all of your sins. You don't have to turn there, but I'm putting them on the tape. Amen. So when you go home and eat, you got enough text to match with. Look at Mark chapter 2, verse 5. Yeah. Because ain't nothing you're going to do. You ain't getting no power from God unless you got a word. So you better get used to going through the scriptures. If you don't like the Bible, you ain't going to never walk in the power of God. You'll just never see a sign, a miracle, a wonder. You always going to listen to somebody else tell you about a story. You're going to have to open up this Bible yourself. You're going to have to get in there. I would be scared to death to go to a doctor that sat in the room with a other bunch of doctors, but he never went to school. And you want to lay me on that table and do what? Call somebody to come in here. That's all you better do. You better not cut me none time. I'll wake up off that table and work with you. How you going to cut me and you ain't never been to school? You ain't never learned nothing. You don't even know no medicine. You going to tell me about a story of a medicine man. Man, sit down somewhere. Go to school and learn it so you can do an operation by the Holy Ghost. How you going to have a ministry and you don't even care a Bible? What you going to talk about? Am I doing any good? Sister Marilyn, you're making me preach this hard. What you going to talk about? People looking for a manifestation. They looking for the presence and the power of God. You don't even got a Bible. I'm real nice. Y'all need to meet me later on. Don't judge me right here. Verse 5. I'm a nice guy. Verse 5. Verse 3. And they came and they come unto him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. I would mess with that. They was born of four. Yeah, it took four. The Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, and the power of God to heal you. Yeah. They were born of all four, but I just threw that in there. And verse 4, and when they could not come nigh unto him because of the press, they covered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up and let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay, then, he said, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven. Son, thy sins be forgiven. See, Jesus, now this is where the Pharisees, they had a problem. Why? Who is this man talking about? He can forgive sins. Jesus said, now let's just get real, baby. Yeah. Is it easier for me to tell him to get up and walk or tell him his sins for forgiving? I got it like that. Yeah. Now, which one you can live with? I can tell him get up and walk, and it's a done deal. Or I can just put my hands on him and say his sins. Come on. I can heal his sickness or I can heal his sins. Right. I got it like that. See, Jesus forgives all of our sins. Ain't you glad he forgave your sins? Yeah. Come on now, don't act like you no angel. I know you look good. Thank God he forgave my sins. I couldn't preach this gospel like I can if I didn't know he forgave my sins, because I'm not sinless. I do sin less than I used to. But I'm not sinless. It's not that I don't sin at all. Yeah, I got it right, Roy. I got it right, Roy. But I do sin less than I used to. Come on, somebody. That's what growing up is. I still shouldn't be doing all the sins I did in the 70s, the 80s, when I was really rolling. Now, I don't want to mess with the 90s and the 10s and the 2000s. We don't leave that alone. Because he's still working on some of us, ain't he? But he forgive all of our sins. And go to Acts chapter 5 and 31. Your tape going to be full. I want you to sit down and have meat. I don't want you to have no candy and this stuff. Man, when that devil come up on you, that little bubblegum stuff don't work. I need to know what God said, man. I don't want to hear no stories. Man, I sat through a whole tape waiting on the scripture. Because I know the power was in the scripture. I sat through a whole tape waiting on the scripture. I'm like, doggone. Give me another tape. I need a word, because I know if I got a word, I got assurance that the power is available. The power ain't available on no assumption, my theory, what I think. Acts chapter 5, verse 31. I'm going to get you out of here. Verse 30. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, from whom slew, in which whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him have God, what? Exalted his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to forgive repentance to Israel and forgiveness of our sins. You know, when you slay Jesus, now let's don't get too messed up with them folk, because we slay him today. I know he already gone. I know he's sitting on the right hand of the Father making intercession. But his word stands, remain. And when you hear the word of God, you slay him again. The Bible says that we trod it like the blood of Jesus on our foot. Because what God said, what he did, you don't even respond. You don't even respect it. It's as if you never heard it. Scripture say it's better that you didn't hear it. Because you can't never say, you didn't tell me. Because the Holy Ghost going to tell the truth because he's a spirit of truth. You remember on December the 5th, you was in the church and the preacher preached it. You just turned him out. You tuned him out, but he said it. It's on record. They got a tape. He's on video. And you on that too. So you heard it. You just turned him off and turned him out. But you still responsible. Because watch this. You better take this one with you. You turned him off, but your spirit heard him. That's why we got to fight the Holy Ghost. Because the Spirit of God be talking to you. Even though you want to go do it. You know, I want to do it. I want to do the wrong. And while you on your way, the Holy Ghost, small voice, you know, don't go up there. You know that's wrong. And you, huh? Like you ain't heard him. You know you heard him. And he ain't going to raise his voice because he's a gentleman. But he talked to you. He told you on your way while you was knocking on the door. You talked to you all the way up. Your last chance was you was at the door. And you hit the door. And the Holy Ghost hit you. You ain't going to make it. This wrong. It's going to destroy your home. And you standing at that door. And you got to fight with yourself. You don't know to break out or run or wait till she answers. And the Holy Ghost tell you, I told you this going to hurt you. I told you. And you know, soon as you think you disobeying, your parents, yourself, you really disobeying God. Because God said, I told you. And God, well, I'm going to go home. God's responsibility by the Holy Spirit is to warn you. He, by the Holy Spirit, is your, what's that, navigating system. He's your alarm. He can't let you walk into that not knowing. But he can't stop you from going after he told you. That's your Holy Ghost. Thank God that comes with your package of salvation. I got a Holy Ghost inside of me. That when I don't know, don't understand, can't hear, I still got one more chance. The Holy Ghost gonna say, not so. Don't go. The Bible say, the Holy Ghost said, don't go to this and that place. Pacific. Definite article. And don't make him call your name. You thought they were singing a song and missed a note. Cherie. That's the Holy Ghost letting you know. I know. I'll make you fall out up in here. My last point. Not only did he create all things, preserve all things. Not only do we forgive all things, but he spiritually blessed all things. Go to John chapter 1, verse 16, and we out of here. Have you heard anything? My dedication to God is to preach this gospel. Amen. Because I want you to be without an excuse. And then I want to let the devil know you covered. Now, whether you go in there on your own, that's you and him. But let the devil know God got you. And God got it like that. Now, you can tell God go to, and God will tell you, look, doctor, I'm not going to be there. You might be there, but I ain't going there. John chapter 1, verse 16. Verse 14, just make sure we get it. And we out of here. John 1, verse 14. And the word was made what? Flesh. And dwelt among us. That's what we're talking about. And we beheld this, his glory. What? The word. And the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Full of what? Grace and truth. That's all I'm preaching. Grace is what God tells you you can have in spite of what you're going through. Truth is just the fact is, this is how it go. Grace and truth. Verse 15. And John bear witness of him and cried saying, this was he of whom I spake, that he cometh after me, is preferred before me, for he was before me. How was he before you, John? In the beginning was the, all right. Verse 16, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for what?
You talking about his fullness, meaning God done everything he going to do for you through his son. But now you're going to receive grace for grace. If you receive Jesus, you receive the grace that Jesus came with. And that grace can be made manifested for your life to change you, to heal you, deliver you, to save you, protect you, to keep you. What do you need? He says all things. The reason we can't get out because we won't go down. The reason you can't come up because, listen here, you won't allow God to be Lord. You still want to run the program and think he's going to get you the blessing. He said, I never let the devil dance at my music. Now you can go over there and do what you want to do and you'll pay your own fare. But if you submit to me, I'll show you the power and the grace to heal, deliver, and set you free. But if you refuse that, then you got to stay with what you got. I don't care how many times you come in this door. You still bound by what you got because you refuse to humble yourself. And declare Jesus Lord of your life. And let the work begin in his name. Give the Lord a hand of praise.